Did you know that over $377 million are spent each year on pumpkins just to carve them into jack-o'-lanterns? We've got all sorts of awesome facts and more coming up. We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know With Rhino. Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Ryan O. In case you didn't know, I'm Ryan O. This is my show and I know exactly what you're thinking. Well, actually, I don't know what you're thinking because right now I'm thinking, what sort of cool thing would I want to put on a jack-o'-lantern? How about you? In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun and a half, and you might even learn something. We've got lots of facts, lots of trivia, and lots of cool, awesome opinions and a few jokes along the way. But we don't do this episode alone. In fact, this episode, I have been graced with the pleasure of hanging out with the beautiful and lovely Rachel O. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Kind of sleepy, you know, the weather, it makes you kind of lazy.
For those of you who don't know, we are currently recording this in the middle of a tropical storm because Florida, it's a thing.
It is a thing.
And instead of going out and going on all sorts of crazy activities, we're recording this podcast for your listening pleasure. But we have gone on all sorts of crazy and awesome adventures lately, including our trip out to a harvest or autumn festival. Tell the folks about the autumn festival, Rachel.
Yeah, we went to a festival, I think in Apopka, or was it northeast central Florida? And it looks like a tree farm. And they had also a small corn maze, my first corn maze, a pumpkin patch where you could choose some pumpkins, and lots of kind of fun activities around their farm, plus a hayride.
Being from the Midwest area, I've been to quite a few of the corn mazes, but you said it's your first corn maze?
First corn maze, because, well, I'm a Floridian native.
And there isn't much corn grown here in Florida?
No, I hardly ever see corn grown in Florida, except for a fluke little garden.
And so what was your experience going through the corn maze for the first time?
Well, I had a trustworthy guide to guide me through that's been through many corn mazes, Mr. Ryan O.
Guilty.
And let's see, the first time you kind of led the way because you taught me your expert knowledge of how to maneuver the corn maze.
Well, an expert knowledge of a corn maze is to know whether you're going north, south, east, or west. And if there's clouds, you're kind of screwed.
That's true, too. But we made it out pretty easily, took some cute pictures, and then we did it a second time where you let me lead the way, and I took a couple of different turns. And luckily, I don't think this corn maze had any dead ends. I think they just kind of took you a long way round if you went on one turn versus another.
Yeah, they gave you a bunch of like little loops and circles back to the same spot, but you're right, there was never really a dead end.
But either way, we made it out the second time, and I think it was a lot of fun. I'd like to experience a larger one and maybe one with dead ends.
Yeah, like this one was maybe an acre.
Yeah, probably about an acre.
Some of them are like 5 acres, 10 acres. They're pretty huge up north. But while we were also at this area, we went and did some like pumpkin launching.
Yeah, they had like these air guns that could launch pumpkins and tennis balls, and then also a slingshot that could launch pumpkins, like small pumpkins. At the water had a couple of barges almost, and that had targets. Some had bells and like barrels or tires that you were trying to aim for.
And some of the barrels were decorated like jack-o'-lanterns or spooky faces or witches or whatnot.
Yeah, it was fun. But I think our most fun thing was the water wells, the water pumps, and the ducky races with the rubber duckies. That was really fun.
So what it is, it's a giant...
Like a trough?
Yeah, and you have... ducks on one end right next to the water pump, and the goal of the race is to start pumping at the same time and get your water flowing so your duck goes all the way to the other end first.
And that was fun. We did that a couple times.
And we went on a hayride.
The hayride was cool, but not as cool as I was hoping it was going to be. Plus, I think there were chiggers in the hay.
Yeah, I don't like it when things bite you unexpectedly. Or when things bite you expectedly. Biting's not fun. But overall, I would say it was a fun experience.
Yeah, it was fun for pretty much like a first fall harvest festival we did in the Central Florida area, which we were planning to go to one today, but lots of raininess, so not doing that. Maybe next weekend, and that's going to be in Lakeland.
Oh, yes. Lots of fun things happening around here in the Central Florida area. If you're not in the Central Florida area, I'm sure there's all sorts of cool things and places where you're at. You just got to use the old interwebs and find the closest thing to you. So in the theme of Halloween and harvest and whatnot, let's talk about some cool things relating to pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns.
I love pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, they're pretty awesome and a half. So apparently the first jack-o'-lantern, it was originated from an Irish folktale about a man named Stingy Jack who tricked the devil over and over again. When he died, he was forced to walk the earth with only a carved out turnip and burning coal to help light his way.
That's kind of sad, but also, you know, he was provoking someone evil.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those malicious karma things going on.
Yeah. So don't treat people evil and maybe you'll get good karma and not wander the earth with just a turnip and coal by yourself.
So based on that legend, they were saying that the first people in Ireland and Scotland used to grab turnips, beets, and potatoes to carve his scary face on it. And then when they brought it over to America, pumpkins were carved because they were more abundant than turnips, beets, and potatoes.
I almost think it would be easier to carve. I mean, I can't even imagine carving a potato. I would fail miserably.
Yeah, that would... carving a potato. We should try that one time and just put it on YouTube and see how it works.
Yeah, no. But the only thing I'm thinking of is maybe they were carving faces into these smaller objects, but they weren't lighting them like the traditional jack-o'-lantern that we know with a pumpkin.
Oh, sure.
Because I don't think they're big enough to light.
Well,
really.
In some of these, people thought that the jack-o'-lantern, the guy, Stingy Jack, he was a night watchman who would light the street lanterns every evening. So to help him out, they would have pumpkins instead.
Oh, interesting.
So that's a little bit about the awesomeness of pumpkins. Rachel, what would you say your favorite Halloween candy is?
Gosh, I don't know. I really like a mixture of chocolate and like fruity candy. But I definitely love to get Tootsie Pops in my Halloween candy bag.
Well, I agree. I love Tootsie Rolls and Tootsie Pops. But apparently in 2017, a lot of kids didn't.
Ugh.
So.
What's wrong with them?
We've got a list right here of the most hated candies of 2017. Rachel, can you guess what the most hated candies of 2017 are?
Probably Laffy Taffy, because I really am not a big fan of Laffy Taffy.
It is unfortunately not on the list.
Well, those kids can give me their Tootsie Rolls and their Tootsie Pops, and they can take my Laffy Taffy.
Well, so how about one more? Just give me one more guess of something that might be on this list.
Let's see. Bit of Honey.
Bit of Honey?
Does anyone even know what that is?
Bit of Honey. Oh, that's a great reference, girly. Love it. For those of you who do have not, just type in Bit of Honey. You'll enjoy it. Just YouTube it. So the list of the most hated candies of 2017, we got Circus Peanuts. Those little rubbery...
Oh, they're like marshmallows, but not good marshmallows.
Unfortunately, totally. Candy Corn.
I don't mind a small amount of candy corn, but it has to be the like the actual candy corn. I don't really care for like the pumpkin ones that are the weird shapes. And by small amount, I mean like a small little handful that probably equals about 12 pieces, and I'm good for the entire year.
It's just enough to give like a little flavor. That's about
it. Yeah, exactly.
But you don't want to eat a handful.
No, it's very sweet, I think.
Also on their list is wax bottles, those little tiny wax Coke bottles.
I'm not sure really anyone wants those in candy Halloween bags or any other time of the year.
They're saying Necco wafers.
How dare they? I love Necco wafers.
Mary Jane's.
I feel like I've heard of that before, but I'm not sure I've ever tasted that.
Let's see. Mary Jane candy is also known as a, I don't know, it's kind of rubbery looking and
looks like
old timey.
Like caramel, but maybe like not tasting like caramel. I don't know.
And then they have Tootsie Rolls on their list.
Ugh, those are so good.
Smarties.
Smarties are just like Necco wafers. They're delicious.
Black licorice.
Okay, they can keep that. Ugh.
And Good and Plenty.
Yeah, well, Good and Plenty is like licorice, isn't it? Isn't it like a candy shell coated licorice?
Let's find out. Good and Plenty.
I'm not a huge licorice person either, so I can't blame them for that, but they crazy with those Smarties, Tootsie Rolls, and Necco wafers.
So the Good and Plenty is indeed a brand of licorice candy. You are correct.
Yeah. No.
You got a hard candy shell with a center of black licorice.
I mean, I'm not even like a Red Vines Twizzler person either. I might take a few bites and call it good.
But so we talked about the least favorite Halloween candies and whatnot. I also don't like licorice, and I'm not a big fan of those. But the most popular ones, what would you say would be the most popular candies?
Well, I feel like anything chocolate, because I mean, even though unfortunately I'm from Florida, should I say, and sometimes it's cold out when you're trick-or-treating, mostly in northern Florida, of course, not in central Florida. Or it can be quite warm out, and your chocolate kind of tends to get a little soft and melty, so that's no fun. But I think chocolate candies, such as like maybe Reese's or Snickers, those would probably be the most popular.
Cookies and cream.
You've already guessed two out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that we have from 2017, the same list.
I mean, honestly, I'd probably be surprised if anything fruity was on that, except for maybe Skittles.
Which is on the list.
But I love me some Blow Pops or Double Bubble.
So far on this list, we've got Reese's, Snickers, and Skittles. Those are the things that you mentioned.
Yum.
There are two more chocolate ones and two more fruity ones.
Oh, really? I guess Starburst, maybe? Although those aren't my favorite.
Think a little bit more spacious or how am I describing this? So not just one little thing, but a whole bunch of little things instead.
M&M's.
Well, that's not in the.
I'm not sure I got that clue. What the heck are you talking about? Spacious.
I'm trying to tell you about Nerds.
Nerds. Oh, I do love me some Nerds.
And then one other fruity thing is extremely sour.
Sour Patch Kids?
Indeed it is.
Really?
So then the other two chocolate things.
Weirdos.
What would you say the other two chocolate things would be?
Well, shoot. I was going to say M&M's. I guess cookies and cream bars, Hershey bars.
You're getting closer.
Something else?
Come on. You got to break me off a piece of this information.
Oh,
girly.
Kit Kats. Oh, with that weird commercial. That's
and then if
this
you
year.
Took a Kit Kat and added caramel to it, it would pretty much taste
Milky
like
Way?
A... Or a Twix.
Oh, a Twix. Really?
Yeah.
See, Twix has never been a favorite candy of mine. I like it on occasion, but give me Kit Kat or Snickers to me is my favorite. Yeah. Dark chocolate Snickers. Yeah.
Ooh. Or, well, the peanut butter ones are okay.
Peanut butter Snickers?
You never had a peanut butter Snicker?
Maybe I have, but
another adventure we'll have to have. We'll have to carve out a potato, and we'll have to have peanut butter Snickers and put it on the show.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's the list of 2017's best and worst Halloween candies.
I can't imagine it's changed that much.
Well,
makes me want to go out and buy a big bag of Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I would love it. So the history of giving out candy and whatnot, the history of trick-or-treating, came out during an All Souls Day parade in England. The church encouraged wealthier families to give out quote-unquote soul cakes to the beggars of the lower class in exchange for prayers for dead relatives. It was a tradition known as going a souling, and later the children were the ones who went to houses to ask for food, ale, and money and whatnot.
Interesting. Going a souling.
Going a souling. That sounds super dark and awesome. People apparently, the whole trick or treat aspect of it, the treat part, people, it was kind of a customary to perform dances, songs, prayers, and plays, a practice called mumming, in order to receive their treats.
Okay.
So in order to get something out of it, you had to give something to it.
I mean, that's almost like today when you have to have a costume and then you go around and you have to walk places, except for those lazy parents that drive their kids from house to house. Like, come on, get out and walk.
Yeah,
it's good for you, especially if you're going to eat all that candy.
I'm not a fan of it. Now, I understand in some farm towns where houses are separated by like a quarter mile.
I feel like in farm towns, though, they probably just have like a trunk or treat fall festival and they give out candy then. Or maybe you have like caramel apples for your take home meals and like brownies and stuff. More homemade stuff, I would imagine.
And a whole bunch of candy corn and licorice, because it's probably homemade, too.
Ooh, that sounds fun. Homemade candy corn. I wonder if you can make that.
That would be another episode of us trying to make homemade candy corn.
Let's not do that.
Probably not. So that's some of the fun things about the Halloween traditions and candy. But my question to you, my dear, is what would you say is some of your favorite Halloween decorations that you've seen on the outside of houses lately?
I definitely love good spider webs. I mean, you know, spider webs, they're not the easiest or most fun to put up. But if someone does it really well, I think it looks awesome. Especially if you kind of maybe incorporate some cool lighting with it and actually have maybe some different spiders other than like the little plastic ones that come with it, because sometimes you can't even see those.
Are you talking about those inch and a half long ones?
Yes.
That go on like rings and whatnot?
They need to like make maybe 3 to 5 inch spiders to throw up in those. That would be cool.
That would be epic. Like some of those plastic or rubber tarantulas?
Yes. I like those. And then some of the ones nowadays where you can like project, like a ghost is walking towards the window or something, or like back and forth through the window. That's pretty cool, the technology that's developed with that.
Yeah, seeing the house make it look like the window is wheezing because of the technology, like it's moving or a creeper is walking on the inside of the house through that projection. That's pretty crazy.
Yep, I like that.
Some of the more traditional ones, I like just a row of lights, just something simple and sweet, and a whole bunch of pumpkins, because pumpkins can be used from September all the way through November if you really play your cards right.
Absolutely. Probably not real pumpkins, because they'd probably rot pretty quickly. But yeah, like I love pumpkin decorations, and I like fall decorations because of that reason. If you can sit it out for 2 months, basically use it in Halloween and the fall season.
Having them out and about is extremely cool. But the problem with having them outside all the time is you need to find a way to anchor them, to house them, because of wind and people possibly taking them and whatnot. So we came up with a cool idea this year. Tell them about your little special project.
So a while ago we bought these barrels for planters, and we actually had planted some lemongrass in one,
but it was very successful.
Yes, very successful. But we transported it to the front yard, so we had an empty barrel, and it's like a plastic barrel, it's not wood, but it looks like wood. So I took some of our pumpkins that we have
a few large plastic pumpkins that are beautiful looking.
Yes, and we got a couple of kind of fun green looking gourds and some fall leaves and a string of small lights, and we put them in there together so they kind of look like a nice little fall barrel collection. And at night when you're driving up, when it's dark out, it looks really pretty lit up.
We included a timer so that it shows up. It lights up like as soon as nighttime happens. It's pretty cool just coming home and seeing it happen. It's very warm and welcoming and inviting and cool at the same time.
I love it.
It's pretty awesome. I'm a big fan of all sorts of outside decorations. What would you say some of your favorite interior decorations would be for like the Halloween season?
I like scarecrows. I guess they're kind of more fall, but I like scarecrows, and
you can use those inside and outside the house.
That's so true. We do have one outside as well.
Didn't I name him Larry?
Something like that. Larry.
Or Jerry.
Jerry. I don't know.
So scarecrows, right on.
I like scarecrows, and I like, we have a couple of kind of like spooky, maybe skeletons or jack-o'-lanterns inside too that are come out year after year.
In fact, there is a large head, just a skeleton head that's about 10 feet, no, not even, like 4 feet from me, right at the edge of our windowsill.
Yep, he's admiring the rainstorm.
Someone's got to.
We didn't name the skeleton head.
No, but we do have a large skeleton that we decorate every year, and his name is Harvey Cornelius Bones, or shortened out to Harvey C. Bones.
And yeah, he has on a shirt and shorts and a hat, and he usually sits out with us to hand out candy.
And people come up to it all the time, like from a faraway distance. It looks like there's a third person handing out candy, but really close up, kids are like, oh, and they're kind of expecting it to move, but Harvey's just friendly and chilling. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's pretty laid back and relaxed, and let's see, what was I about to say? Oh, yeah, people like to take pictures with Harvey.
Oh, yeah, we've had selfies and whatnot of Harvey taken. I'll actually throw a picture of Harvey in his chair, and I'll enter it onto the Twitter page for those of you who want to see what he looks like. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and sometimes he goes for car rides. He really likes to do that.
Yeah, there was a point where I just didn't know where to put him or what to do with him. And so he was in my back seat for about a month and a half.
Just propped up with a seatbelt on. Just chilling.
You could have almost gone through the carpool lanes with him.
Oh, boy. Don't give people ideas.
Yeah. Don't do that, people. Have an actual person in your carpool lane.
Because karma.
That's right. You don't want to have to wander the entire streets was carrying a skeleton hand like the devil made the dude do it with his gourd and whatnot.
Stingy Jack.
Stingy Jack. That is correct. Did you know with Rhino? We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/everydaycosplayfinds for more information. This episode has also been brought to you by me. Right now, at this exact moment, we're going on an awesome giveaway for a cool and unique prize, most likely a t-shirt. But to participate in this, you'll have to give us 3 clues that you can find across social media, including this podcast right here, our Twitter page, and our Facebook page, giving you 3 clues. You'll be answering them and then sending us an email at didyouknowrhino@gmail.com. First one to do that will be our winner of our awesome t-shirt. The clue from the podcast here is, what is the name of a red-breasted bird? Once again, what is the name of a red-breasted bird? Add that to your other 2 clues and then email them to us, didyouknowrhino@gmail.com. And that is our t-shirt giveaway. And now back to our show. Did you know with Ryan O? Speaking of Stingy Jack and the jack-o'-lanterns, over the years we've seen all sorts of cool and awesome pumpkin carving designs and whatnot. Rachel, what would you say is one of your more favorite designs that you've seen or made?
Traditionally, I like a good jack-o'-lantern face. I always am torn when I choose my own design if I want to do a really cool design like a Frankenstein or a haunted house or something cute versus a scary jack-o'-lantern face, because I just like the tradition of how long it's been around, and I always think each face is unique no matter who's doing it or how many times you do a jack-o'-lantern face.
Because each pumpkin is also unique, so its size and its ratio and relativity is also different too.
So true. I mean, I like all the fancy ones where you can kind of not necessarily like carve it, but like scrape it so it's translucent.
So that seems super complicated, and I wish I knew how to do that better.
Yeah, no, I'm not good at that part. But I think my favorite's traditionally just a fun jack-o'-lantern face, whether you make it kind of like a smiley one or a spooky one.
One year you did Tinkerbell.
One year I did do Tinkerbell, kind of flying with some pixie dust behind her. That was fun. I think we got a lot of compliments on that one.
I think one of the more complicated ones I ever did was Iron Man.
Yes, you did. That was good.
And a creature with the moon behind him.
Yes, kind of like Nosferatu.
Oh, yeah. But I agree. Some of the coolest ones are just awesome faces because they're simple and cute and unique, but also like a really good Millennium Falcon or something crazily Star Wars and intricate. I'm just jealous because I don't have that particular technique to do all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, like I think one pattern I've seen has been like a spider with a spider web behind it. That would be, you'd have to have like really sharp, tiny tools and patience. Lots and lots of patience.
Yeah, and there's that part right there, patience. Because once you cut open the pumpkin and you scoop out its guts, then you start doing the design on it, and it already at that point you're tired because you've scooped out most of the stuff, and you're like, okay, cool, I need to keep finishing this pumpkin. You get to that point where you don't want it to become a chore, and you want it to still be fun, too.
Exactly. And I think using proper tools also is helpful. So, I mean, using like a big spoon, a wide spoon, or even one of those scoopers that you can buy with the pumpkin carving kits is very helpful. I've seen people use huge knives to carve their pumpkin. Please don't do that.
You know who you are.
Yes,
you.
Exactly. Scared me to death. And I think using those little saws, they are really helpful. And it's also helpful to maybe kind of draw your design on your pumpkin first in either pen or like a, I don't know, Sharpie, I guess.
Yeah, because pens easily wipe away because of the moisture from the pumpkin itself.
Yeah, so map up your design, or you can use one of the cool little design books.
If you have a really cool design that you've done this year, you can feel free to send it to us on Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O, because we'd love to see what your creativity has inspired.
Yeah, I like looking at different jack-o'-lanterns.
They're pretty cool and awesome. So speaking of cool and awesome things relating to pumpkins, you recently did a lot of experimenting in our kitchen.
I did. I found a recipe online and I tried it out. It was quite successful with everyone that tried it, so I actually made a second batch that I doubled the recipe for this morning, and that is pumpkin white chocolate chip snickerdoodle cookies.
They were delicious and a half. The extra half was because of just how moist and tasty they were.
Yes, they're very good. I did a little bit different because I didn't have pumpkin pie seasoning last time, but this time we do, so we're going to maybe amp up the seasoning and spices that's in it. But for someone like me who's not a huge pumpkin fan as far as food goes, I really liked them. I really enjoyed them. So Maybe we'll put up the recipe online and you can enjoy them too.
Totally. I think I'll put the recipe up on our Facebook page, which is Did You Know with Ryan O. That way you can copy it and share it with your friends.
Yeah, it's a good one. Try it out.
So also around this time for trying new foods and having new creative experiences in the kitchen, what would you say are some of your more favorite foods to eat or cook during this fall harvest season?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean,
we all know that you love Thanksgiving. We had an entire episode about that.
Yes, we did.
So besides Thanksgiving.
Besides Thanksgiving, fall foods. I mean, soups and chili come to mind, definitely. I love different soups, and I think you're not a huge fan of soup, but you're getting into soup.
It depends on the soup.
I mean, butternut squash soup is delicious, and I would love to try to make that one day.
Well, butternut squash ravioli is delicious.
Yes, it is, and we definitely need to try making that. I saw butternut squash ravioli at the grocery store, and I found a recipe for, like, this brown butter sauce. It'd be good.
Getting some of that, but also having some sort of, like, sweet potato, I don't know, side dish?
Ooh, yes. We've been into sweet potato fries lately, and I've baked them in the oven where we add like cinnamon and paprika and garlic to them. They're delicious.
They're awesome and a half. We also made this steak dish one night, and it's just some diced up steak and some diced up sweet potatoes and a whole bunch of veggies all together, and it was delicious.
It's like a steak and sweet potato hash.
It was awesome.
Yum.
Big fan of food.
I'm getting hungry.
Me too. So since we're getting hungry, that is our cue for us to wrap up this episode. But that means we also have to have our question of the week for you out there.
What is the question of the week?
The question of the week is inspired by our conversations about Halloween candy, and it's, what's your favorite and least favorite Halloween candies? And you can respond to that on Facebook, Did You Know with Ryan O, on Twitter, at Did You Know Ryan O, or you can always email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. We'll take all sorts of questions and comments that you have, and we'll be able to talk about them on a future episode here with Did You Know with Ryan O. Now, I've had lots of fun, and I hope you sure did. Did you have fun today, Rachel?
Absolutely.
Well, we look forward to talking to you folks in the near future. So until next time, I've been Ryan O. We'll see you next time.